Our heart is pretty full this morning. To me, the Word of God is very exciting. People get excited for all kinds of reasons. I get excited with the Word of God. There's just so much in it. And I thank the Lord when He reveals a little portion from time to time. I want to talk by the help of the Lord about how we perceive God, how we see Him, how we perceive Him to be, and who He is. I'm thinking about God being an intelligent being. When I look upon everything, the universe, the world, and all the creation, and then I see what God has put in this world, man, and given us the ability to have intelligence also. You ever think about your brain? How do you know that you're sitting here in service this morning and you're not sitting on a beach somewhere by the ocean? How do we know that? We have a brain, a mind we call it, that tells us things. You and I breathe not because we have to think about it, but because it's a natural operation of the body. The brain tells the body to breathe. We know that we're here in service and we're not on a beach somewhere because of our surroundings. Our brain takes in our surroundings. It gives us understanding of what we're looking at. The eyes are connected to the brain. And when we see that we're sitting inside of a building and that we're in pews and that we're all together and singing and praising the Lord, we know we're not on a beach somewhere watching the waves and the ocean roll in. But we only know that because we have a brain. Because we have intelligence. And God has intelligence too. I thought about a scripture this morning. It came to my mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4 and 5, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith," I want you to get a hold of this, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." My desire this morning, when we're finished, is that your faith will open up to a greater measure as you see God in a new and a different light. That's my desire. And only the Holy Spirit and the Word can do that. So we need the Lord to bless us this morning. We know that God is an intelligent being, and in all of His creation, He could have given this kind of intelligence to any part of it He wanted to, but He gave it to man. And the only part of His creation that He created, in animals and fishes and all the things that He created, the only one that He gave a soul was to a man. We're the only ones that have a soul. We're the only ones that are going to live forever. Once life has been given to us, we will live forever. And God put you and I here on this earth and give us intelligence, understanding, and the ability to make the choice of where we are going to live forever. That's powerful. God has put it in our hands that you and I are going to make the choice, I want to say it again, of where we are going to live forever. But God, in His wisdom and in His love to you and I, didn't just come out and say, here it is. But He unfolded and opened up a wonderful and a beautiful plan of salvation for you and I that would preserve us here on earth and preserve us throughout eternity when we are in the presence of God forever. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say this morning, my little burden that I have. I want to turn to the fifth chapter of Revelation. Desire that you would pray the Lord will bless this. To me, the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. And I pray that it will be powerful to each and every one of our souls today. I was thinking in my seat, you know, sometimes life goes on kind of mundane and unchanging, and just one day after follows another, and we do the same old thing, we're in the same old ruts, until we have a life-changing experience. And my desire this morning is that the Word of God will be a life-changing experience for every one of us. Folks, the devil is working as hard as he can. I don't believe he can work any harder than to try to destroy the faith of God's people. And we need a real, true understanding or perception of who God is, how we got here, what He has given you and I. I appreciated the song that was called this morning, The Church of God. Folks, there's something wonderful and great about the Church of God. Jesus Christ is the one that purchased it. Jesus Christ is the one that preserves it even today. You and I cannot be successful in any way, shape, or form without Jesus Christ being a part of what we do. We cannot be successful. The fifth chapter of Revelation. He said, and I saw. John had a vision here. That's what book of Revelation is about, is John's vision. And I pray God this morning that you and I will have a greater vision of who God is. Because this is where God shows John just who He is, what He is, and what it means to you and I, and how that He conquered sin and destroyed sin. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't just conquer it, folks. He destroyed sin. He destroyed the enemy. And He made it possible that you and I could have power. That we could have understanding, wisdom, and power to overcome no matter what it is that we have to face in life. If we're willing to humble our hearts and submit ourselves to this great and wonderful God. I, John. He said, I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, and I'm reading this slow on purpose, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals therein, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's all, obviously, more than I'll be able to handle today. By the help of the Lord, I want to try to explain some of this scripture. He said that he saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book that was written, and on the backside, within and on the backside, and sealed with seven seals, meaning that it was unknown to man. It was hidden to man. God had hidden it from man until he chose to reveal it at this time to John the Revelator. And he said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Now I want to point out the strong angel here. Many times in the Word of God, when God's people were in trouble and in difficult places, God would minister to them by sending an angel in their behalf. When Daniel was in the lion's den, he told the king the next morning, God has sent an angel, and he has been with me and closed the lion's mouth, and the lions have not harmed me. God sent an angel. When the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, folks, I want us to understand something this morning. Sometimes it's so hard for us to believe and our faith to take hold, but God is in the furnace. He's in the fire. Heated three times hotter than it ever was before. Was it seven times? It was heated hotter than it ever been before. And God was in that furnace. And it had no effect upon him nor his children that he was there in the furnace with. God was there. When Jesus was in the garden, and he had been praying, and his sweat became as drops of blood, the Bible says God sent angels to minister to him. So let me point out, and there's many other places and times where God sent angels. He sent them into the prison when Paul and Silas was there and Peter and so forth. But folks, what that means is that when God's people are in distress, when there is a great need and a great burden, God sends an angel to help his people. This here, he said, is a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Folks, this typifies to me, the strong angel says to me, the greatness of the burden that was being borne that John saw here. The greatness of the burden that God was delivering to John here, the concern behind it, the power behind it, the glory behind it, the burden that it would be for all mankind to get a hold of and to understand, it would be for every one of us. And he said, a strong angel stood up, proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. No man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Folks, this book that was written the things therein that was hidden to you and I. There is no man that ever was or ever would be worthy to break the seals of that book, except one. And that was Jesus Christ. And he said, I wept much. John said, I began to weep and I began to cry because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. God in this very scripture right here that we're reading this morning is trying to unfold and open the very plan of salvation to each and every one of us here today. To open and explain and unfold to you and I and give to you and I the meaning and the understanding of how we got this great salvation. We have a story that Jesus came and He died on a cross and He gave His life and He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because His blood come out, you and I can be saved from sin. That is all true. But folks, this is what God showed John at the beginning of the revelation when He was speaking to him and opening up the books and the understanding to show you and I, folks, that we need to have great faith today in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, His lineage, His earthly lineage. You see, John wept because the world and the church was likely to be deprived of the knowledge of salvation. But Jesus. I want us to understand something. And we probably already know this, but folks, Jesus is the one.
The only one.
Jesus is the one and the only one. He is the one that came to reveal God to you and I. He is the one that it was put upon Him to bear the burden of the sins of mankind. He is the only one that has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is the one that God put His trust in and put His faith in to send Him down on earth, down here on earth, that you and I could enjoy the blessed plan that God had prepared for us and ordained for us before the beginning of the world. Jesus Christ. When we say, I ask you these things in Jesus' name, let me tell you folks, we're asking in the greatest name that has ever been given to mankind, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He had a lion nature about Him. He fought the enemy for you and I. He destroyed him and conquered him on Calvary, but it took His death to do it. But He did it. Thank God He did it. Because there's nothing in this world, nothing in this world more precious to me than my salvation. Nothing more precious. There's never been a greater price paid for anything. Christmas is coming up, folks. You could go out if you had it and spend all the millions and billions of dollars you wanted to buy a present for someone. There ain't nothing compared to the price that was paid for our salvation. Nothing. And I want us to get a hold of this. I want us to wrap our minds around this. God has given us a brain and intelligence to understand His divine and great and wonderful plan. And folks, the Bible tells us that by Jesus Christ, all things consist in this world. All things consist by Jesus Christ. Only God Himself was worthy to open the book. Jesus is God, isn't He?
Yes.
Only God was worthy to open the book. Through Christ's earthly existence here in this world. Through Christ's existence here in this world. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He prevailed, didn't He? You say, well, Jesus, it goes on to say that there stood a lamb as it had been slain He was known as the Lamb of God, wasn't he? He is the Lamb of God. But he was also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he had a lion nature. When he went in that temple and he saw them selling doves and changing money and doing those things in God's house, he went in there, folks, and he got rid of those people out of there, didn't he? He made a court and he went in there and ran them out of God's house. That was the lion nature that Jesus had. I thank God. You know, he's not afraid of the devil. Sometimes the devil comes along and imposes on you and I. He'll get us to cower down. He'll get our faith to be weak. He'll get us to thinking that God can't do this and God can't do that. Jesus is not afraid of the devil. Never was and never will be. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. How did he prevail? By the very merit of his passion. By the very merit of his incarnation. By the very merit of him going to a cross and being crucified for you and I. He prevailed by dying for you and I. And we could have this wonderful plan of salvation. He opened the book. He opened the book. He began to explain to you and I this morning and to execute all of the purposes and the divine knowledge and understanding of God. What little knowledge that we have of God this morning, in our feeble words of trying to express who God is, Jesus is the one that came. He counted on His Son to come and to bring that knowledge and understanding to you and I, and He opened the book that we could understand what salvation is all about.
Yes.
The animals can't understand it. The trees don't understand it. There isn't any other creation that understands it but man. And mainly, mostly, prevalently, God's people understand. He said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain," that would be Christ, "having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Christ's sacrifice was of the utmost importance to God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 and 2 that his sacrifice was unto God as a sweet-smelling savor. It was of the utmost importance to God. His sacrifice and the sacrificial offering of His Son, folks, that meant everything, and it means everything to God. And God points to that for the entire community of humanity. He points to the sacrifice of His Son, and that's what He will require for you and I to make heaven. I don't care where you live in the world. I don't care what your nationality is, what your beliefs are, and at what God you believe in and trust in. God will require the sacrifice of His Son when the judgment day comes. That's the only thing that'll get us into heaven, folks. Is being willing, having been willing to accept the sacrifice. Jesus is still being represented today in the very act of pouring out His blood for the offenses of mankind. He's still in the very act of being represented today. That's your and my job. That's our work. That's our labor here. To let people know that His blood is still fresh. His blood will still save. It will still deliver. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And it's still represented to you and I today. Folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but this gives you and I that believe this a great advantage to faith. I was driving here this morning. I went by a Methodist church. And I saw people, older people, getting out and going in there. And I thought, what are they going to hear today? What kind of music is going to tickle their ears? What is that fella going to... I know the man that's the pastor there. What is he going to say to them today that's going to be a help to their eternal souls? And my heart went out for them. My heart went out to them. And then my heart went out to you folks that are here this morning, that the Lord sent you here, that you were going to have to sit and listen. You can leave, of course, to what God has given us to say about the truth and about God and about His great salvation.
Yes.
Folks, any soul that comes to the throne of grace will find a sacrifice that has been provided for him, has been offered for him through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now he said here, a lamb, having seven horns and seven eyes. We want to see God here now. I said, how do you perceive God? And when I say that, I want you to understand what I mean is, how do you perceive God? How do you perceive Jesus? And how do you perceive the Holy Spirit? Because that's all God. That's all a part of who God is. That's what we call the Trinity. That's where the unity is of the power that created all of this and that gave us this great salvation. How do we perceive it? He said here, having seven horns. Horns in the Bible, even in the Old Testament time when they came and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar, horns denotes power. And he's talking about the power that Jesus had. The power denotes all the prevailing and the infinite might of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything. Folks, he's left nothing out. There isn't anything that Christ did not destroy that was evil when he died on the cross. And he had the power, the only one now that was worthy to open the book, and the only one with the power to destroy the devil and everything that he tries to do to you and I. And let me tell you, he still has that power today. He's still sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and he has that power today. So he had seven horns. Seven mean completeness. In the Word of God, all power. Bible says all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus said that. All power. So he said here, the Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. What's the seven eyes? It's the infinite wisdom and understanding of God. The seven eyes sees everything. Folks, God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all in all, isn't he? And he's sovereign. And we'll say more about that later by the help of the Lord. Infinite knowledge and the wisdom of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and I believe it's the 30th verse, it's the last verse, and he said, Christ is unto us our wisdom, our understanding, our sanctification, our salvation. Christ is everything to you and I. Because he was worthy. The only one. There was only one that was found worthy to open the book that you and I could enjoy these wonderful special blessings of salvation this morning. Folks, you want to talk about being rich? I'm not a pauper. I'm rich. I've got the truth of God's Word. I've got His Son living within my bosom. And I've got His power working within me. His Spirit working within me. Folks, I've got God on board and I'm rich this morning. I'm rich. And I don't need the world's goods. I don't need the wisdom of this world, folks. It's foolishness with God. Jesus said here, he saw him in his vision as someone with seven eyes, all power, all wisdom, all understanding. And then he went on to say, and the seven, which are the seven spirits of God. What are the seven spirits of God? Folks, that is God's divine providence. God works in each and every one of our lives. He knows and understands what it will take to get you to heaven. He knows what it's going to take to allow in my life and in your life to cause us to draw closer to Him, to inspire our faith, to give us courage and grace to go on. He knows what it's going to take. God never sends anything into your life to cause you to be discouraged and to get down and give up on Him.
Amen.
Never. Any of that kind of stuff always comes from the devil himself. Seven eyes, seven spirits. That's His divine providence. That's His divine providence in your life. We don't always understand, do we? God, what are you doing here? Lord, this doesn't make sense. I suppose Joseph might have said that to himself many times. Maybe he cried it out. God, this don't make sense. I love my brothers. I love my father. Why do you allow me to be sold over here into slavery? But God allowed it, didn't He?
Yes.
And He did it for His people. He said, He told them over there in Isaiah 43, and He said, I gave Egypt and Ethiopia a ransom for you. Folks, God loves us. He loves His people. You stay in His will. You stay in His accord. And you allow His authority and His Spirit to work and reign in your life. God will take care of you. I gave Egypt and Ethiopia a ransom for you. He's talking about the children of Israel. When they went through the Red Sea, He let that sea come down and He destroyed their enemies. And He will destroy us, our enemies also, if we'll stay in His divine providence, under His will, and let Him have His way in our heart and life. He came. That'd be Jesus now. He came and He took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne.
Yes.
Father, give me the book. Give me the book, Father. I'll open it. I'll go down there. I'll become the sacrificial lamb. I'll give my life. I'll shed my divine blood for the souls of mankind. I'll do it. Give me the book, Father. And He went over to the throne and He went to God and He took the book out of the right hand of God that sat on the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Folks, we ought to, every one of us, fall prostrate before God and submit ourselves to Him, submit our wills to Him, submit our lives to Him, knowing that He knows all, understands all, and is doing everything that He can to get you and I to heaven. Sometimes, though, we being humans, we fight and we kick and we hold back because it hurts. Lord, help us this morning. Do we see God? Do we see Him high and lifted up? Do we see His glory, His power, His authority that He has in this world? People over there cutting people's heads off, people doing all kinds of things in the world. Our country going the directions going. Folks, that don't mean nothing to God. God is still the authority in this world. He sets up kings and He takes down kings. Don't you forget it, folks. Whatever you hear, whatever you see, whatever they're doing in our streets, folks, God is still God. And He was worthy to open the book, that you and I could understand the wonderful and the great plan of salvation. They sung a new song. Oh, folks, what is that new song? What is that new song? Folks, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. They sung a new song, you and I today, that are saved and in this great plan of salvation through the blood of Jesus. We appreciate and love the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very gospel that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other ones rejected when He was here on earth. Thank God this morning for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God, Paul said, unto salvation. To everyone that believeth.
Yes.
It's the power of God. The gospel is. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book. He's the only one that was. Understand that this morning, folks. To open the seals, to break the seals. And we heard about that in our Revelation study here just 3 or 4 weeks ago. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hast made unto our God kings and priests. I got a need. I got a confession to make. Whatever it is I got, I can go straight to God with it. Because I'm a king and a priest. In order to be a king, you've got to have some kind of a realm to rule over, don't you? You've got to have some kind of a realm. Folks, I can rule over my own spirit now. I can rule over sin. I can rule over those offenses that come to offend me. Lord, help us. We are kings and we are priests. And we can go directly to God. We can go through that second door there in that temple. And we can go to the Holy of Holies and present ourselves before this great, august, and mighty God. And make our petitions to Him directly. Because why? Because He was worthy to open the books. Because He was worthy, folks. The writer, the psalmist said in 96:1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new psalm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, and show forth His salvation from day to day." I thank God for His great salvation this morning. I thank Him for what He's done for me. I thank Him He's given me a brain. Intelligence enough to understand what He's done. It didn't just fall in there, folks. It just didn't fall out in our laps. There was great prevailing. There was a willingness to come. There was a willingness for God to come to this earth and suffer at the hands of His creation. To be beaten, to be accused, falsely accused, to be all these kind of things that they did to Him. And that's what it took in God's eyes for your and my great salvation that we have this morning. I thank the Lord for it, and I'm sure you do too. Thank the Lord for salvation. Like turn. The 5th chapter, I believe it is, of 1 John. 1 John 5. And I'll begin reading at the 5th verse. Who is he that overcometh the world? Saints, don't we want to be overcomers? We want to be overcomers. What good are we going to be as ambassadors of Christ if we go around with our heads hung down and sadness and sorrow all over our face all the time, like, woe is me. And what's going to happen? And being so worried and concerned about the events of this life. What good are we going to do? What kind of ambassadors are we going to be? We want to overcome. And we want to enjoy and live this great salvation that was purchased for you and I. I hope we can see that scene there that John saw in heaven that day. Hope we can see that scene in a greater light, in a greater way this morning. But he said, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, you're not going to overcome, folks. You must believe. See, this is imperative. It's absolutely necessary that we accept God's Son, or we're not going to be overcomers. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now with that verse right there, I want to read another verse that's found in John 15:26. When the Comforter is come, because I want to explain something here by the help of the Lord. Jesus said in 15:26 of John, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, can I say this morning, folks, that God did not send himself. The Spirit did not come from within the Father. It came from beside the Father that was with him on the throne. It is part of the Holy Trinity of God. It is not God himself. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. When he said here, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father. God sent the Spirit of truth. Jesus is still sending the Spirit of truth to the world today in endeavoring to try to get souls saved, endeavoring to try to lead you and I into the paths of righteousness and true holiness. He's still sending that Spirit today. And thank God that the request that I heard this morning, folks, that Spirit is also a great comforter to those that are in distress and to those that are in need. So I want us to know, to understand that God sent His Spirit. He didn't send Himself. He sent His Spirit. That came from beside Him, not from within Him, but beside Him on the throne. And when He sent Jesus into the world, yes, He was God in the flesh, but God was still there on the throne. And His Son was here on earth. Is that right? We can grasp that, can't we? It's the same way with the Spirit. So He said here, and that the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. That's witness. Three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I can't think of anything any more that the devil hates than you and I being one. You and I being unity. He is working through every avenue that he can today to destroy unity, to destroy fellowship, to destroy oneness among God's people. I can't think of anything the devil hates any worse. But he said here, these three are one. And Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John that you and I may be one, even as he and the Father are one. That we would be one with the Father. He prayed that. In the 17th chapter of St. John. John. So he said here, in heaven, there are three that bear record. Our witness. And that's the Father, the Word. And aren't you glad we have them this morning? Aren't you glad that they witnessed to your soul this morning? Aren't you glad that they're there for you when you don't understand, whenever your body is diseased, when you're going through trials and difficulties and people misunderstand you, whatever it is that you have to face, aren't you glad that they're one? That you can come to them boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, praise God. Boldly to the throne of grace. I'm so thankful for this and what God has accomplished. For you and I, through His Son. Oh, I'm so thankful for it. There are three that bear witness in the earth. He didn't just leave it in heaven. But He said there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The wise man said in Proverbs, he said a threefold cord is not easily broken. God is three in one. God is sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And He's omnipresent, isn't He? He's everywhere. We have a song in our book that says God is everywhere. Do we believe this morning? I'm not the only one that believes these things. I know. We believe this. This is who God is. And He's sovereign over what? Over His realm here on this earth. He's got a kingdom that no man can destroy. A kingdom that will never go down and never be destroyed. God's got a kingdom. And He will see to it and has seen to it by His Son who He sent to this world that this kingdom will stand forever. When we leave here, brother, old brother Gerald used to say, Emmett Gerald used to say, just a change of address. I'm just going to get a change of address, send my mail that way because that's all I'm doing is going over to the other side to be in the presence of God. You know, I think we need things like this once in a while to lift us up, to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us to know we're not alone. We're not alone, folks. God went to great lengths to give you and I what we have this morning. He went to great lengths. And I thank Him for it. This oneness that John talks about here is where our power is here on earth. It's where our power is as a people of God's great salvation. The oneness. You know, I've said before, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you pray for before you, if you went to sleep? What would you pray? What would your last prayer be about? If you knew you were going to die tomorrow. I can tell you what it would be about, can I? It would be about the things that are most precious to you. The things that are dearest to you. You'd be praying and being sure that your own soul was ready, wouldn't you? And you'd be praying for the souls of those you love, that they would be ready too. The things that are dearest to you. Folks, when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, He prayed for the things that was dearest to Him. And it was the oneness of God's people. That we could be a witness to this lost and dying world of the great gift of salvation. And what it truly and really means to you and I this morning. Oh, I'm thankful for it. He went to great lengths, folks, to establish something that the gates of hell cannot destroy. All the wisdom that hell has can't destroy it. All the wisdom that man has can't destroy it. You can follow after man's wisdom and man's doctrines if you want to, but they cannot destroy the truth. This was done in heaven, folks. It's done in heaven. There are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for it today, aren't you?
Yes.
We need, Lord help us. I don't know how to say it. What's in my heart. But we need a deep appreciation and a deep understanding of who God really is and what God really has done for you and I. And sometimes we think, well, we have that. Brother Larry, I have that. I understand those things. But I'd like to read now another little story that we have in our Bible. This will be my last text, Lord willing. But I want us to consider the human side of us just a little bit. Let's go over to John, the book of John, the 11th chapter. We all know the story well. I said it as a story. It's a real happening in Jesus' life. But it's a story to you and I. It was given to you and I for a purpose, for a reason. He said here in the 11th chapter of John, the book of John, and I'll lay out a little bit here. This is about when Lazarus was sick. And Martha and Mary sent a little message to Jesus and said, Lazarus, the man you love, he's sick. We need you to come. Pray for him. We need you to come. Now, don't forget everything I've already said here this morning, folks, because this ties right in with it. We need you to come. And Jesus didn't come right away. And he tarried a few days. And so I want to pick it up without doing a whole lot of reading. In the 20th verse, when he was coming, and it said here in the 20th verse, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." They obviously, you see, Mary said the same words a little bit later. "Lord, if you'd have been here." Those thoughts and words have probably been expressed thousands of times in cemeteries. Or when people got word of their loved ones passing or killed or whatever. Those words have probably been expressed many, many times. "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." They obviously, in the expression of those words, did not have a complete knowledge and understanding of the omnipotence of Christ. They thought that maybe if you're here, you could cure if you were here, but at a distance, you can't do that. Or maybe they thought, "Lord, maybe you didn't hear. Maybe you didn't know our brother was dying. Maybe," I don't know what they thought, "but Lord, if you'd have been here." Folks, Jesus is omnipotent. And omniscient. If he would have never heard a word from anyone, he would have still known that Lazarus was dying. Wouldn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he would. They did not fully understand the divinity of Christ because they were looking at a man. He was a good friend of theirs. And they knew he was a great prophet. They'd seen him do many mighty wonderful works, miracles and things that he had done. They probably was around whenever he fed the 5,000 with just a couple loaves of bread and some fishes. But he's just a prophet. A man that is connected with God and does great miracles. Folks, we've already read who he is. What he is. But they didn't have that knowledge. Yet they were with him, and he was with them, and he was in their house many times. Do you suppose that Jesus might have hid his divinity of who he was from those folks? Folks, do you realize the awe and the amazement that they would have had if they would have seen him in all of his glory, in all of his light and understanding, in all of his power as the God himself? If they would have seen that, they would have been so overwhelmed they wouldn't have been able to stay in his presence. God in his wisdom hid it from them. I believe he knew it was necessary, and I believe it was necessary that he hide it from them because they would have been so overwhelmed. "Lord, if you'd have been here." Look, I want you to understand something. We teach, you need help, you're in trouble, whatever it is, call for prayer. When I was over in Hawaii 4 years ago, I had a heart attack. I was in a desperate situation and really no one around me. Well, they were praying. But no one around me that I had confidence that they could really get a hold of God. And my daughter made one phone call and it got all over the United States. I got calls from California to Florida. And many points in between after it was all over, checking on me. Folks, God hears prayer wherever we are. If brother's up in Wisconsin and he needs help, we here can pray for him and God can answer that. He doesn't have to be there physically. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And He's all powerful. The seven horns, folks, all powerful, unlimited. Well, Lord, I believe that You can heal a headache, but I don't know about cancer. That's not the God that I know this morning. He's able to heal everything.
Yes.
And I've seen Him heal cancer. I've seen it. God is all powerful. And He's everywhere. And yet we still say in our humanity, when desperation takes over, and we say, Lord, if you would have only done this, Lord, if You would have only been here, He wouldn't have died. Jesus had a greater purpose, folks. He had a greater purpose for what happened to Lazarus. You see, the Pharisees were looking on. The Sadducees were looking on. They were there to comfort the sisters when Lazarus died. He'd been dead 4 days already. The Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. God is interested in helping a soul get understanding of who God is and what His Word teaches us. He's not so much interested in keeping someone from dying, but if He can raise them from the dead, and the Sadducees look on, folks, they will not have any grievance at the day of judgment. Their beliefs will not stand the judgment day when they saw Jesus Himself raise Lazarus from the dead. You see, Jesus has a great purpose. Sometimes in our little old minds can get a hold of and wrap around it. And that's why it's so important for us to be consecrated and submitted to the will of God and whatever His will and purpose is. If I die today, folks, and He's got a benefit for that, that it will help some soul make heaven, so be it. But He wanted to show those Sadducees. He knew they didn't believe in a resurrection. Well, look what it says here in the 25th verse. Where am I here? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. There's the great I am this morning. I am. Tell them that I am sent you. I am everlasting. I am from eternity to the beginning, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am sent you. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the Lamb that was worthy to open the book, to open the blinded eyes, to open the seals, to bring the truth, the gospel, and the blood of My Son, Jesus Christ, to this world, to die for you and I. I am. Oh, Jesus. He told him up there in the 23rd verse. He said, Thy brother shall rise again. She said, Oh, Lord, I know that in the resurrection He's going to rise again. But He said, I'm the resurrection. You don't have to wait till that resurrection. But Jesus is talking about that resurrection when we let His blood cover our hearts and deliver us from sin, folks, and we come into His presence. He is the eternal resurrection for mankind. He is the resurrection. He was trying to get some things across to these people. Sometimes it seems like it's so hard to get it across. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Folks, there isn't one of us in this room this morning that wasn't on our way to eternal damnation when Christ came along. Not a one of us. When Christ came along and talked to our hearts and reached down His loving hand and ministered His precious Spirit and blood to our eternal souls, we were all desperately lost to be damned in an eternal hell. I thank God for His great plan of salvation today. We must Take God, folks, for everything that He is. Everything that He is. And in order to do that, we've got to understand who He is. What He is. Paul said something about the heights and the depths and the lengths and the breadths. God wants us to understand who He is. He's given it to us. It's in the Scriptures. Some people it's hid from, but it does not have to be hid from you and I. We can enjoy the fullness of God's love. We can enjoy the fullness of God's peace. We can enjoy the fullness of His joy right here on this earth. We can enjoy that. God wants us to. And He's opened up His heart to you and I through His Son. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Do you believe this, Mary or Martha? He said, do you believe this? Saints, do you believe it this morning? If you don't, why are you here? Why are we here? We might as well be out there enjoying the world like everybody else if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He said, he that believeth in Me shall never die. He's not talking about this natural death, is He? But He's talking about you and I. That soul that we have within us this morning going on and dwelling with Him alive. Living forever with Him. That's His whole purpose. That's the whole purpose of salvation this morning. Is that man can live with Him through his soul. Man's soul will live with Him throughout eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Don't you think it might be something to look forward to? For you and I to get there. I want to get there. And see that throne with our own eyes. See God sitting there. See Jesus sitting there. The fourth chapter of Revelation says that 24 elders were sitting around that throne. And what were they doing? Casting their crowns before Him. Life is precious, isn't it? Life is only given by God. By Him. I say it again. All things consist. Jesus purchased this, folks. He prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, yet the meek and the lowly Lamb of God. Pilate says, you're not answering me. Don't you know that I have the power to take your life? You don't have any power over me unless it's given to you from above. Folks, that's where the power is. That's the one I want to trust. That's the one I want to believe in. That's the one I want to live for. Where the power is. Where the victory is. Where the grace is. Lord, inspire our faith today. Do we believe? I wrote something down that I would like to say. Read it here. God determines to work in the behalf of men only in the proportion to their faith that they have in Him. God determines to work in the behalf of man only in proportion to the faith that they have in Him. If you don't believe He can't do it, He can't do it. That's basically the way it is. What is our proportion of faith today? Therefore, it is necessary that we are well instructed concerning the nature of God, that there be no obstacles to our faith. May God help us. We are the militant army of God here on this earth. We are still this visible body going forth, conquering. Going forth, living this life faithfully, day in and day out, even when no one else is looking. We're the ones that God is counting on, folks. He's depending on us. He's depending on every one of us. Lord, help us this morning. I trust that somehow I was able to get a little bit of this across, that the way the Lord wanted it, that your faith and your hope in Christ will be so insurmountable that the enemy cannot destroy it. And no matter which way he comes against you, my desire is to make heaven. And my next desire is that all of you make heaven. But if I don't make it and you do, that's not going to help me a bit, see? So I want to make heaven, and then I want you to make heaven. That's my desire this morning. Thank God that He prevailed and He opened the seal. He opened the book. The great salvation given to you and I this morning. Thank you for your time and attention. I appreciate it.